All right. Well, as I said, we've sort of been shifting on the fly this morning and just trying to hear from God and have fresh reflection. And this scripture, our gospel lesson today, you know, comes from the lectionary. It's actually a text I preached on during Advent. And so during that time, I highlighted the emphasis there, which was on a baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I want to highlight and go forward from that a little bit today, bringing in the passage from Acts 8 that we read earlier, and also a little bit more, but I want to talk to you about the church in the flesh needs God in the flesh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your enduring word. We know that it, for as long as it has been, God, it has always in Jesus. We thank you that the word is fresh and alive today. Now come, Holy Spirit, take this word and drive it into the inner man where we need to hear it and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so in the first passage, it kind of reflects that Jesus himself knew how to fulfill the law. His life had been a lifetime of not taking the law away, but adding to it, amplifying, and giving better understanding to it. He appeared at the Jordan to be baptized in a similar way, because he was going to institute a sacrament that he wanted to show and demonstrate that he himself was fully a part of. Jesus went down the water and was baptized. It was when he came up from that water that he had this incredible sensation of the Father's approval as God spoke out and said, "This is my Son. You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased." But there's that little dove. You see, Jesus was receiving something more that day. And this is where we can get into a little trouble talking about Jesus in the flesh. Jesus was a man. Jesus had facial hair. You know, he had bad breath because he didn't brush his teeth all the time. And none of that was a sin. It was just what it was to be human. Jesus was fully human, fully temptable. You know, you had your basic man 1.0, fully temptable, fully able to sin, fully able to think harsh thoughts, fully able to be disoriented by life and torture and pain and bad people. But he was fully God. He never once in any way set aside his godhood. And when he was born, from his day he was conceived, God was present in human flesh in ways we can't understand or negotiate even together, work out an understanding, I don't think, how those two things inhabited the one being, how God in the flesh walked among us, and what things he sovereignly chose to set aside. We can see and surmise some things. Like, Jesus didn't seem to always know presciently everything without some special help. Because he had a human mind that could be thick and full and dull and tired and weary and oppressed and depressed. It was a fully human working brain with blood flowing through it. It was susceptible to humanity's failures and frailty. But Jesus knew the power of his co-God partner, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was on Jesus from the time of his conception. There was never a moment when Jesus was not fully with the presence of the Father and the Spirit as the Godhead. But in that little baby form, you know, functioning out there like a human being, he needed the corrective influence of the Holy Spirit many times. He needed to be helped on his way in his humanity. I'm not saying he was sinning. I'm just saying God needs God. And before I get into too much more trouble speculating and trying to say things I know nothing about, this day came and the Holy Spirit comes and descends in power on Jesus. And then shortly after, we didn't read the section, but it says the Spirit then drives Jesus out into the wilderness. You know why? To be tempted. He said, let's take it out and drive a little bit. It's like if I gave, you know, Helen Elizabeth a new four-wheel drive. I know what she's going to do. She's going to go out in the pasture and tear that thing up. What will it do? And the Holy Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness and he goes into this time of extreme temptation to see what it'll do. And Jesus, the man, the human, knowing I've got, you know, the... I don't want to say anything without saying the wrong things. How important it was to have this day, this moment when the Holy Spirit came and said, I love you. You're my son. Because the Holy Spirit is God's speaking voice. And Jesus always knew what it was to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And now his God self was becoming more and more. He tried it out, right? His human mind could begin to conceive that the Holy Spirit and his God self were one. That he could function in a way that we see in signs and wonders. We also understand his full humanity was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. But we can't understand or explain it. And so, some of that he had set aside to become flesh came back to him in the Spirit. Okay? Somehow, whatever it was, some of what he had to set aside to be with us and be flesh came back to him with the Spirit. And then you have Nicodemus come in John chapter 3. And Jesus has this awareness now. He has a human body and a human mind. He can be tempted. But he can display sinlessness. He can display salvation. He can claim to be resurrection. Nicodemus comes in the dark of night, and Jesus says, look, you'll never see the kingdom of God unless you're born of the Spirit. Unless you have a birth, a spirit birth, a time of believing and accepting God, a time when Jesus is made real as your Savior, when you accept him as your Lord, the Holy Spirit comes. It's not a little tiny G.I. Joe Jesus that parks in your heart. It's not a Ken Barbie doll named Surfer Jesus that comes and lives inside of you. I got Jesus means the Holy Spirit has come and witnessed to me that Jesus is within me. The Holy Spirit is the witness to who Jesus is. And without that witness, we can severely and profoundly undervalue Jesus, devalue Jesus, and as I'm going to say the church has done, is completely enflesh Jesus. This is what happens when you only have 30 minutes to pray for a sermon. Nicodemus, you'll never get into the kingdom of God unless you are born of the Spirit. And so there has to be a birthing. And Jesus came and gave us, he said, here's a symbol of this baptism. I'd be baptized in water, born in water and birthed of the Spirit. And then Jesus had to pray. Why? Some of you are trying to trip me all up in your brain. Some of you are sitting there thinking, I'm going to look something up on Google and get in with this. Jesus was God. Jesus had to pray. He would get up early in the morning and go alone to pray. He went out to pray. He went away from his disciples, and they knew he needed the time to talk to God and hear God. Now you deal with that. Jesus himself needed to talk to God. He needed to pray. And he needed to think. You see, fully human means fully human thinking. Human thinking means error, means sin, means fallenness. And so that means God, man, Jesus, was praying, but he was also thinking with God. Demonstrating how humans in a person with a human brain and a human body and human urges and needs can pray to God and also think with God. A life that can be lived. Now, in Acts 8, you see some of this, and there's other instances in the Bible of where the disciples get wind that there are people believing in Jesus who have not heard of or embraced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. On several occasions, the disciples had to be sent to people who had received the baptism in Jesus' name, who had not as yet received the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works, but I know in my own life I can tell you about it. I can tell you about believing Jesus loves me and apple pie and Chevrolet and baseball and I'm in church and I'm going to heaven, but it wasn't true. I can tell you about even asking Jesus and begging him to save me like every week. I can tell you about times when I just couldn't accept it fully by faith and how much I wore that out in pain and sorrow during my teenage years. But I can tell you about when I did finally, fully know I was trusting Jesus. I received the Holy Spirit. A witness that told me I was born again. This is assurance. This is not a Baptist. Baptists have a doctrine called once saved, always saved. This is not that. We have our Wesleyan doctrine is of assurance. We can know through the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are born again, that we are children of God, that we have security with Him. And so that witness comes when we believe. And so far the church has that witnessing spirit. All who are in Christ today, all who are saved under the name of Jesus, you have that witness of the Spirit. A potential small, maybe really small, still voice. The voice that Jesus wanted to think with. The talking voice of God that Jesus conversed with. The one that would inform his thoughts and groan in his praying. Right? But today, the church behaves just like those few that the disciples kept finding. Like we failed to emphasize life in the Spirit. I think I got you there to the door a minute ago. You all did. You seemed to be with me when I said you got the Holy Spirit when you trusted and you knew you were trusting for your salvation. It's because you know you have that witness, right? But let's go one further. If we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus this year, we're going to walk with Jesus, be more like Jesus, have people confused. Hey, was that Jesus or was that Tommy? You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to emulate Jesus in his flesh. But part of that is we've got to get out of the flesh. It means when you have administrative council meetings or other decision-making bodies in the church, you've got to move intentionally in your mind outside the flesh. You've got to move into the Spirit. Groups and meetings and every other way have to say, you know what? I'm liable to have an outburst. I'm liable to embarrass myself. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the whole way this sermon came up. Because yesterday when I was building my building, my phone kept going bloop, 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 bloop. My extended family. We're having this family conversation, 30, 40 people. And I'm in part of it I have to deal with, so I had to keep checking. I'm just, you know, the flesh, you don't know it, But that flesh is just sneaking in, getting a little more irritated, a little more irritated. I didn't, if you'd asked me, are you irritated? I'd have said, no, I'm not irritated. Why you got those color shoes on? Those look awful. I'm not irritated. But you know, boom, 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 boom. And before I knew it, somebody said something, and I popped off. How fast can I type on this phone? Slap, 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 slap. Silence. Silence. Till my sister types in. She goes, what was that last part? Nobody understood. I was so in my head with it. It was just wearing me down. The potentials and all the fleshly projections. There goes the sermon. What it should be, you know? And I just lost it. I typed as quickly as I could. I'm so sorry. I was trying to answer 40 questions in one answer, and that's how it came out. And so, see, even... You're probably a better Christian than that, but... How often we need to be thinking with Christ. The Holy Spirit needs to be in our thoughts and not just our prayers. We believe and we receive the Holy Spirit. We surrender more and more in the second half of the gospel as we're going on to sanctification. We surrender more and more. And we, as we learn more deeply how much we are sinners, and we're more and more sanctified, and we go deeper and deeper in surrender. And finally, even if we come to a moment of utter surrender in baptism in the Holy Spirit, a complete work of grace that just gobsmacks us. But we have to walk in the Spirit. Whether you're a new believer, you're just 10 years in, or whether you think you're walking in the fullness of this stuff, you have to walk it out. The church in the flesh is giving God a black eye. It's called evangelical, you know. But a whole bunch of boxers out there with Christian boxing gloves on, ready to smack society, you know. Bam, 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 boom, 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 boom. And God doesn't need any of that. What God needs is a Spirit-filled church demonstrating Jesus everywhere, all over the place. And here's the thing. We're born of the Spirit. You can be baptized of the Spirit, but you still have to walk in the Spirit. You have to think with God. You have to say, some people know I do this. You say, let's just stop a minute and ask Jesus what he... You know, I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help here. Just take a second and say it out loud. Say it to somebody and say, you know what, I need to ask the Holy Spirit about this. What's going on here? Help me see with God's eyes what's happening. That's a little more than just praying, isn't it? That's receiving. It's more than just talking to God. Is hearing from him. In Romans 8, 5 and 6, it says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And here, I guess, is the great delineator. Setting your mind on the Spirit, and you can say, well, preacher, that's just too much. We don't believe that. By God, I never heard that. That's on the rim of society. That ain't even true. But I'm advocating for a whole new class of evangelical. Why don't we have a bunch of people we call empowered evangelicals? People who have understood that the Holy Spirit is not a stepchild in the gospel. But an average, everyday Christian needs the Holy Spirit to get through each and every day and to witness of Jesus Christ. That we're living with our minds set not on the flesh, but on the Spirit. Because why? The last words. Set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Folks, when we're not seeing a lot of life, we're not seeing a lot of peace in Christians, the mind is not on the Spirit. If your mind is not set on life and peace today, your mind is not with the Spirit. And it would be no surprise for anybody if Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, because he's a little bit meaner, you know. Apostle Paul would say, you're a carnal Christian. Your mind is on the flesh. Too much of the church today spends its time in the flesh. What we need is more of God in the flesh. The church in the flesh today needs more of God in the flesh. May each and every one of us be convicted of our need for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus himself needed the Spirit to guide him each and every day. And to be like him, let's incorporate more of the Spirit's presence in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.